following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Welcome, everybody, to the program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and it is Friday, October the 13th. It is the day of rage, the scheduled worldwide global protest, and some are saying even a global jihad on this day, on the 13th of Friday. We hope everyone is remaining safe, being diligent and using wisdom. Tonight, I want to first, before we get into tonight's message, I want to welcome everybody to the program. If this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below. If you're able to comment, let us know that you are new, and we would love to hear where you guys are joining us from. Always, and as always, please don't forget to download our free app. It is available on Apple and Android devices. Again, it is free. Just go to, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, go to your Play Store, depending on what device you have. Just type in End Time Headlines, download our app today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go, and you're going to be able to keep up with every headline when it is readily available. So, again, tonight, I want to close. This will be our last program for this week until we come back on the 15th, which will be Monday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. By the way, we're here typically every Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Now, there is times we will rearrange our schedule and we'll switch those days around. But for the most part, we're pretty consistent about doing Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesdays off, do Thursday and Fridays. So again, we hope that you guys will be a part of our normal programming. So tonight, guys, I don't want to cover headlines tonight. I don't want to do the information of the arm of our ministry tonight. I want to speak to you a devotional word. I want to give you some things that was on my heart that I jotted down in my own journal, and I want to share them with you tonight. So I want to take you on a little journey. I want to take you to our opening scripture is going to be Luke 17, very familiar passage. You guys that are regular viewers of our ministry, you should be very familiar with this passage because we quote this all the time. Jesus refers to, again, this is in Luke 17. He says in verse 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Now, of course, many times and most of the time when we bring this scripture up, we refer you to the days of Noah as a point of reference, and we talk about the culture of that day. We talk about what were they doing? Well, Jesus covers that in Luke 17. He says they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, they were building, they were planting, they were sowing, they were reaping, they were doing all this until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know the flood was coming. So I don't want to focus on the lifestyle that day, the culture of that day, what they were doing, the marriage and giving in marriage, the eating and drinking and planting and sowing and reaping. I want to focus today. I want to put my crosshairs, if you would. The focal point of today is on the life of Noah, because here's why I want to talk about this. I believe when we look, if we are, let's just talk about this for a second. If we truly are in the days of Noah, if we're seeing a repeat, we're seeing, and we covered this in some of our, even this week, in some of our podcasts. I know last night when we were on with Bishop Larry Ragland on his program, I covered a little bit of this. And then another week, this week we covered this. We know according to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. It was so bad that according to your Bible, the Lord repented. Your translation may say he was sorry that he even man-made that he even made man, on the earth. The Lord was sorrowful. He repented that he made mankind. He was grieved in his heart. So much so that the Lord said, quote, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Think about that, church. Both man and beast and creeping thing and birds of the air. Now stop. Why did the Lord say, not only am I going to destroy mankind, but I'm even going to go as far as to destroy beast, creeping things, and birds of the air? The answer, guys, again, we've talked about this. You have to do some historical research on this, and you'll discover there's books out there that I would consider to be Jewish history. And it talks about how in the days of Noah, these men who were evil and they were wicked, they were carrying out experiments, even so much so that they were taking one breed of animal and they were mingling it with another breed. They were creating hybrids. And consequently, many of those that were directly involved in creating the hybrids were hybrids themselves. They were demigods. They were the giants that was born. They were the offspring of half man and half angel. This, you can find this in Genesis chapter 6 with the fall of these angels that held not their first estate. So they were doing these evil, wicked, and corrupt experiments on the earth. And as a result of this, the entire bloodline, oh, this is good right here. The whole bloodline on the earth was corrupt except for one family, and that was Noah's family. His family was the only bloodline in the entire earth. Think about it again, church, for a second. In the entire earth, his bloodline was the only bloodline that had not been corrupted. And God had to preserve his bloodline. And in order to do it, he had to destroy mankind, beast of the field, birds of the air, every creeping thing. Everything had to be wiped out. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then we skip down here to verse 11. We talked about this week. The earth, according to Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, he said in the days of Noah, the entire earth was corrupt and was filled with violence. And that's the Hebrew word Hamas. So as a result of this, God indeed was fed up. It was done. The cup of iniquity had become full, and God was about to bring a global judgment. Now, without getting, how I probably shouldn't even go here with this, because if I get into the details of this, it's going to stretch this message probably 30 minutes beyond what I want it to be today. But can I say this? In the days of Noah, there was multiple harbingers and warnings from God. Watch this, in the earth and in the heavens. Let me say that one more time. In the days of Noah, prior to the flood, the judgment of God, there were harbingers that were seen and known among the men of the earth, but there was also harbingers that were seen in the heavens. So you had the combination of on the earth and in the heavens. Let me explain. Did you know that in the days of Noah, that there was tablets made of stone, and of those tablets of stone was a prophecy that was given by Adam that there would come two destructions of the earth. One would come of a deluge of water that would cover the earth. That would be the flood of Noah. And the second judgment would be one of fire. And in case you didn't know, the apostle Peter points that out in his epistle. He talks about the entire earth will be renovated by fire. The heavens will be burned up, and the elements thereof with heat. He talks about this in his epistle in the book of Peter. Also, according to Josephus the historian, this prophecy was written on stones and tablets. And the reason why it was written in stones, so in the event that some of the other ways in which they recorded this prophecy were destroyed through fire or through water, the stones would remain. Okay, this is, you can go study this out. Josephus points this out. There's historical documents out there and records that point this out. Okay, secondly, I found this extremely intriguing. According to researchers who are astronomers, I didn't say astrologers, I said astronomers. Astronomers are those who study the constellations, okay? Astrologers look at the constellations for their future. These are the ones that deal with horoscopes. That's not what we're talking about. Astronomers, according to historical astronomers who have studied this, and they have sophisticated equipment and ways to do this, did you know that there was a comet that, according to one researcher who, and I'm going to give you his name, and I'm probably going to slaughter this, I believe this is how you pronounce it, Cedar Olam Rabah. He has a book where in which he points this out, what I'm telling you right here. He goes in great detail, and he tells you how that there was a comet in the skies above Noah while he was building the ark. You ready for this? The comet that, according to this researcher, that was seen in the heavens, or would have been seen in the heavens, not only by Noah, but by the people in Noah's day that Noah was preaching to. Oh, some of y'all will get this in a minute. Everyone observed this comet that was in the heavens. According to this researcher, this comet that was first observed in our solar system in our lifetime on April 27th, 1993, was the Hale-Bopp comet. This comet was 50,000 times brighter than Halley's comet. It was visible on Earth. And it appeared in 1993 and also in 1998. And according to this researcher, on the Hebrew calendar of April 27th, 1993, it was 45 years to the day when the British mandate ended in Israel. So here you, don't miss this. So here you have a comet that these researchers said that came through our solar system in the early 90s, during the same time frame that there was a major significant event that dealt with the nation of Israel. And this comet just so happened to, when they traced it back to when it first made its appearance, it went all the way back to the time when Noah was building and preparing the ark. Wow. Wow. Now, the reason why I said that, it's because, and I pointed this out recently as well, we just had another comet last month. It was, they called it a green, and I don't have the technical name for this comet, but it was a green comet. And it was the first, this was the first time it made its appearance in our solar system in 400 years. And I pointed out in one of our previous podcasts in last month during a program I did with Larry Raglan, the second week of September, how there's no way that this is just normal. There's too many, there's too much research out there to prove otherwise. Comets historically of this magnitude, when it has this kind of significance, that are rare, that has this weird color, that the appearance of it is bizarre, unusual. When you start seeing this kind of stuff, you need to pay paying attention to it, because they are harbingers. They are signs. Jesus said, Luke 21, there will be great and fearful sights in heaven. Come on, somebody. God said, it was Moses through God in the book of Genesis. Moses wrote the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the five books of the Torah. Moses wrote in his writings in the book of Genesis that God put these constellations in the heavens, these strange occurrences, and these were not just for luminaries. These were not just to give light, but they were for signs. When you see, like in Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. This word right here in your Bible, in the Hebrew for signs, is a word meaning they are also given as warnings, omens, and harbingers. So I want to make this clear. Not every solar eclipse is a sign from heaven. Not every comet is a sign from heaven. Not every blood moon is a sign from heaven. But listen to me carefully. But when these events take place on certain Jewish feast days, when they take place on dates that are historical regarding the nation of Israel. Why the nation of Israel, Brother Ricky? Because Israel is the prophetic timepiece. We've talked about that. They are the fig tree that when you see its leaves begin to become tender, you'll know that summer is near. It's even at the doors. Israel is the major prophetic piece of puzzle that you need. They're the main piece. Everything else hinges upon what happens in Israel. So goes Israel, so goes the nations of the world. I'm telling you, it's all there. So here we have, again, and just recently, we had this comet, hadn't been visible 400 years. It's green. I talked about green is the color of Muhammad. It's the color of Islam. It's the color of Hamas. Hello. It's all that. So here we are. We're right in the middle of this. And then it just happens to be that Genesis 6:11, the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. Guys, now why am I saying this? You say, well, Brother Ricky, I've already heard this twice this week. Look, good, because even Jesus said, again I say unto you, and again I say unto you, this is not even what I want to preach tonight. I wanted to tell you this for this right here. I wanted to get you up to this point. I wanted to show you that God is sounding the alarms. Every alarm's going off right now. And he's pointing us to the days of Noah. Now, I know we've hung out with the days of Lot for a while. We've talked about how with all the stuff that's going on and the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah and how it refers to the days of Lot. But tonight, we're shifting. I believe right now the main focal point that God has us on is the days of Noah. And I'm going to explain why. All right, here we go. There was things that Noah was instructed to do that I believe is imperative for our generation. Let me say that again. There are things that Noah was given specific instructions to do and that Noah did that I believe is imperative for our generation. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Yes, there was violence. Yes, there was wickedness. Yes, there was signs in the heavens and the earth, all preceding the judgment that came, that wiped out the inhabitants of the earth, but spared a remnant. There, those same signs are repeating themselves. We're having signs in the earth. We're having signs in the heavens. We're seeing the violence. We're seeing the wickedness. Yes, we all understand that. But now tonight, what I want to focus on is what are some things that we can pull out of Noah's life? What are things that we can pull out of Noah that can relate to us? Okay. Number one, God instructed Noah to build an ark. Listen to me carefully. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah divinely warned of things not yet seen. Oh, we're going to touch on that tonight. Moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. The Bible didn't say he prepared an ark for the saving of himself. It said he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Oh, come on. I want you to, if you're with your husband or your wife or your family, your kids, your aunt, your uncle, your niece, your cousin, your bloodline, whatever it is, I want you to look at them if they're in the room and say, God don't just want me saved. Come on, somebody. He wants you saved. He wants you saved. He wants your mom saved. He wants your daddy saved. He wants your grandmother saved. He even wants that old, ornery, foul mouth, drinking uncle that you got that is stubborn and doesn't want to come to church. Whether he likes it or not, he's still in your household. And according to Acts 16:31, we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only will we be saved, and not only does God want us to be saved, but he wants our whole household to be saved. So, oh, come on. So Hebrews 11:7 says that Noah built an ark for the saving of his whole household. Come on, do I got anybody that's listening to the podcast today that is tired of this me and my ministry? It's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about look at me, look at my platform, look at my followers, look at my influence, look at my social media influence. No, I want, is there anybody out there that's in ministry today? Is there any preachers listening, any pastors listening today that knows that it's not just about them, it's about the next generation? Come on, it's about your kids, it's about your grandchildren, it's about your whole household. What are we doing to prepare the next generation? If the Lord should tarry, how are we leaving them a legacy? How are we influencing them in the days ahead? How are we training them up in the way in which they should go? So not only did it say that he warned a generation of things not yet seen that was coming, but it said that he was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And it says by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Again, that's Hebrews 11:7. So if you don't mind, since we just got done with our introduction of the message, I want to preach to you for the next 30 minutes or so on all these key points found in the book of Hebrews 11:7, which so happens to be in your Bible, the section of the heroes of faith. That's right. Noah was a candidate. He was Noah was named and enlisted in the heroes of faith. He's there with Samson. He's there with Sarah. He's there with Abraham. He's there in the heroes of faith. So I would think that Noah's a pretty important guy, don't you? So let's pull some stuff out of Noah's life. Okay. Number one, come on. I wrote this stuff down. I want to share it with you from my heart. Oh, I got to say this. God kept Noah in an ark until the storm passed. Let me say that again. God kept Noah and his family in an ark until the storm had passed. What does the ark represent today? To me, the ark represents building a house of prayer, building a house of prayer, a house of prayer in our homes, a house of prayer in the church house, a house of prayer in our communities. To me, this represents building a house of prayer in this hour. Come on, a house of prayer in your home, in your church, and your community, whatever that looks like to you. We have to build that house of prayer. We have to remain under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to remain under the blood of Jesus. I know, listen, there'll be people that'll watch this. There'll be people that'll listen to this. And depending on their theological perception and their theological views of where they stand with the rapture, no rapture and pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, they're going to tell you things like Noah was preserved through the tribulation, but the wicked were taken from the earth. But then another view will say that Noah was taken from the disaster, taken from the judgment. Listen, we can sit here all day long and dispute and go back and forth. But here, can listen for just a moment. Can I tell you the facts? Let me tell you the facts. Whether you listen, we can argue about all this stuff about the rapture, no rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whether this was Noah and that was Noah. Here's the facts as we know it. According to your Bible, here's what I know. I know that he kept Noah in an ark until the storm passed. I know that he kept Israel preserved in Goshen as they stayed under the blood. I know that the same God kept Rahab supernaturally protected because she was in covenant with the Word. I said she was in covenant with the Word. The Word she was in covenant with was the Word that the two spies gave gave her and said, if you will keep us safe, we promise you an oath that if you'll take this red scarlet, come on, that represents the blood of Jesus, and you'll hang it out your window, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will look upon the red scarlet, and he will preserve not only you, Rahab, but your household. And according to your Bible, God preserved them when judgment came. All I know is God preserved Lot and those of his family that were willing to listen to him when the man of God was taken out of the cities of the plains before the judgment came upon him. All I know is that God preserved three Hebrew boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and one likened unto the Son of Man showed up to be the fourth man in the furnace, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. All I know is that this same God preserved Daniel in the middle of a lion's den by sending the angel of the Lord to shut up the mouths of the lions. All I know, come on somebody, he preserved Joseph through all of his trials, his setbacks, his abandonments, his rejections, and being sold to slavery and even being forgotten. Come on, but this same God preserved him until the fullness of time had come and Joseph's word came to pass, and God raised him up in the house of Egypt to save Egypt itself. All I know is that God preserved the Apostle Paul through being beaten with rods multiple times, being stoned three times, shipwrecked, night and day, being in the deep journeys, often perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of their own countrymen, perils with the Gentiles in the city, in the wilderness, in that sea. He was lied on, persecuted by false brethren, through weariness, through toil, through sleeplessness, often through hunger, through thirst, through fastings, through cold and nakedness. They try to kill him, but God preserved him. All I know is that God broke Peter out of a jail cell because he was on death row and it wasn't his time yet. All I know is this same God broke up a jail sentence with Paul and Silas in it when they began to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through their worship, God sent an earthquake and broke them out of jail. What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying I don't understand. Listen, we may not none of us understand it all. We ain't got all this figured out how God's going to do it, but we certainly have a point of reference that God has a habit of sending angels, sending supernatural means, and preserving and saving those who know him and are in covenant with him. And according to Malachi, your Bible says that on that day, God will preserve and save those that are in him, like a jeweler saves his precious stones, so that you may have and know that God makes a distinction between those who know him and those who don't. Woo! So I'm trying to tell you, listen to this preacher's trying to tell you that if God has a habit of making a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, and those who know him and those who don't know him, I am confident that God is able to not only keep, but to preserve me and my family however he sees fit, until I and my family fulfill our purpose in this earth. Come on, some of y'all need to give the Lord a hand clap right there. You need to give him a praise right there, because this word is not just for Brother Ricky. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the pastors. It's for you and your household. All right, number two, I got to get through this. Number two, your Bible says that Noah was warned of things not yet seen. Let me say that again. Listen, you do realize that when the Lord spoke to Noah, that there was a global cataclysmic flood that would cover the earth. God gave details to Noah how that was going to happen. God, I believe with all my heart, God revealed to Noah that the earth was going to burst forth and the fountains of the deep were going to bring forth water from beneath and the heavens were going to open above and it was going to fall upon them. Now you say, why is that such a deep revelation? Because listen, in the days of Noah, God said, you read it in your Bible, there was a mist that came up and it watered the garden. It had never rained from above. So this was unheard of. So for this guy, for this preacher, oh, come on, somebody. This is my message. I'm going to preach it tonight the way I want to. For this preacher to get up behind his pulpit and tell the people of his generation that there was coming an event in a form of a judgment they had never seen or witnessed in their lifetime, they would, no doubt about it, for 120 years, this man preached his heart out. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. Because he's building, oh, you didn't hear me. He's building a ark that would house two of every animal on the boat, including his family. And everyone there thought he was a nut. Because they're like, why are you building a boat when it has never rained? You're telling us that there's going to come water from the heavens. And what's this fountains of the deep is going to burst open and the whole earth's going to flood? Yeah, right. So don't miss what I'm trying to tell you today. Noah was warning his generation that a storm was coming. And he warned them to prepare for it. Again, he preached 120 years and only seven souls answered the altar call. I want you to think about that for a second. 120 years of preaching, only seven souls answered the altar call. And it just so happens that the Apostle Peter said that one of the signs that we're truly in the last days, he said, there will be scoffers, 2 Peter 3:3. That will come. They will be walking according to their own lust. Plural tense. That's that days, again, days of Noah, days of Lot. It's this, the lasciviousness, the abominations, the sexual immorality, the lying, the violence, the just the lusts of the flesh. They'll be walking according to their own lust. They will be scoffing. And they will say things like, quote, where is the promise of his coming? Now, they didn't say, I want to show you this. They didn't say, where is his coming? Peter said, they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, to me, I think this is a heavy revelation. Because, listen, regardless of if you're no rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, everybody believes in the second advent. Uh-oh, everybody believes in Jude, where it says, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. But where the real debate comes is the promise of his coming, which is in John, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look what he says here in John. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, look what it says. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Guys, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but that sounds like a promise to me. But Peter said there will be scoffers that will come in the last day. And because they will be so entangled in the lust of their flesh that they, number one, they don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. And number two, I believe they're going to be lured away by deceiving doctrines of demons that are going to teach them. They're going to teach them things that are contrary to what the Bible tells us. And one of the ways he comforts his children is through these revelations given put by individuals in the New Testament, like the Apostle Paul. And I use the Apostle Paul because Paul received the revelation of the rapture of the church. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18, here's another, in my opinion, it's another promise given to us. He tells us the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, a voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hello, where I am, there you will be also. That, again, this goes right along with John 14. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. We will be with him when we're taken up and we'll be with him when we return. Jude says, behold, the Lord comes out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints. We're coming back with him. Okay, now look at verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But guys, if we take away the blessed hope, if people take away the rapture or the catching away, they're literally spitting in the face of Paul, who says, comfort one another with these words. How can you comfort somebody with these promises if you've got preachers that are coming along and taking the promises from you? Oh, yeah, I can't get an amen right there. But listen, I'm going to move on because I don't want to get caught up in this. The point I'm trying to make to you today is this. Noah was warned of things not ever seen. Now, I got news for you. When people say these comments like, well, you know, Brother Ricky, that catching up, caught up, harpazo, the rapture, all that stuff is nonsense, because nowhere in the Bible does God snatch away people and take them to heaven. Really? Because when I read the Bible, I discovered that Enoch was walking with God and was not, and he was taken. He was caught up. I find where Elijah the prophet was caught up into heaven in a chariot of fire. I find where Jesus was caught up in a cloud in Acts chapter 1. I find where Paul was caught up to paradise, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I find where Philip was translated. I find 144,000 Jews being caught up. I find two witnesses to be caught up. I find where Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit and where John was caught up in the spirit. And he wrote the entire book of Revelation. So the point is, God has had practice. This is not something that's never been seen, but it's never been seen in our generation. So because this is something that stretches beyond the realm of understanding or comprehension, and it gets into the miraculous and the supernatural of God. It starts ruffling feathers of the cessationists that don't believe in the miraculous. They don't believe in the supernatural. It ruffles and it ruffles the feathers of those that don't believe there's any rapture or caught up or there's no references to this. And I'm sorry, but it's just there. It's there. But listen. But the mockers, the scoffers will come and they will laugh, they will point, they will mock, they will ridicule, they'll name call. But it did, come on, just like it didn't deter Noah. I refuse to allow that nonsense to deter me. I'm still going to preach what I'm going to preach. I'm still going to teach what I'm going to teach. And I'm still going to warn a generation that the earth is corrupt before God, that it is wicked, that it is full of violence, and that God is not going to put up with much more of this nonsense, because the cup of iniquity is becoming full. And when it becomes full, he's not going to destroy the earth again of a flood, because he put a promise. He gave us another promise, which is the bow, which is the rainbow, which is a circle, by the way, and not just a bow, because you see half of it on earth, but the other half is in heaven, according to the book of Revelation. Why? Because God, the other half of the rainbow goes up before God's throne, because every time he gets ready, and even possibly, I'm just going to throw this out there, he could possibly be like, you know what? I'm done. They're doing it again. I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. But he sees the bow and he says, nope, I made a promise with Noah, his descendants, and to all the creation that I would never again destroy it of a flood. And here's the rainbow I placed not only where where I am at my throne, but it's there on earth so my children can look upon the bow and know with assurance that there's not coming another great flood. But I come by to tell you today, yes, there's not coming another great flood, but according to your Bible, there the earth as you know it will be renovated by fire. There is coming judgment. There is coming a period called Jacob's trouble. There is coming a period called the Great Tribulation. And you can laugh at me, you can mock me, you can ridicule me, you can unlike me, you can unsubscribe from me, you can unpartner with us, unfollow us. I don't care. Come on, do I got any Noahs that are listening to the program today that are saying, I don't care what they call me, Brother Ricky. I don't care what they say. They can mock me, they can ridicule me. I'm going to still preach the gospel. Listen to me and listen to me clearly. The watchmen are no longer saying the storm is coming. The storm is here. Let me say that again. The watchmen are no longer saying the storm is coming. We've been saying the storm is coming for years, guys. The storm is here. It's now. Open your eyes. Look up. Look around. Look what's going on. The storm is here. But I've got good news for you today. There's still time left to get your house in order, and the harvest is ever plentiful, but the laborers are few. And God is going to and fro and looking over the entire earth, looking for someone he can show himself strong through, whose heart is turned towards him. He's looking for another Noah that will be obedient and say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, I know. No man knows the day nor the hour of the return, but we can know the times and the seasons in which we are in. Guys, let me move on to the next point. Noah, the Bible says that Noah moved with godly fear. Somebody say godly fear. Come on, Noah possessed something. I wrote all this down last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep because this was so pressed on my heart. Noah possessed something that this generation is going to need in this hour. This is something we're going to have to resurrect back in our lifetime and in the days ahead. If we're going to endure until the end, we're going to have to resurrect the fear of God. We've got to get the fear of God back into the house of God. We are in the mess that we're in right now because we have lost the fear of God. Listen to me, church. Men of God no longer preach the fear of God anymore. They want to tickle your ears. They want to pacify your flesh. They want to feed the appetites of the milk eaters and ignore the steak eaters. Where? I'm asking. Upon the airwaves, I'm asking across Apple, I'm asking across Spotify, I'm asking on YouTube and on Rumble, on Facebook Live, where are the men and women of this hour that still preach hell is hot and heaven is waiting? Where is the men and women of God that still preach repent and turn from your sins? Where are the Jonathan Edwards of this generation that preach sinners in the hands of an angry God? Where are the men and women of God that still preach, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me? Where are the preachers that Jude talks about? And Jude 1:22-23, that said they have compassion on some, making a distinction, but on others they save with fear, pulling them out of the very fire and hating the garments that are defiled by the flesh. Listen, Paul said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we got pulpits that have no fear of God anymore. The houses of God, no fear of God anymore. We're bringing worldly things into the house of God. We're promoting things that are abominations. We're putting our stamp of approval on things that God destroyed entire cities because they practiced these things. But yet we're going to expect the blessing of God. We're going to expect revival. It ain't happening, friend, until we get back to these principles. Noah possessed something we need in this hour, and it's the fear of God. Come on, somebody. I want the fear of God. Lord, if I have strayed from the fear of God, if it's become callous to me, If I've strayed from the fear of God, Lord, pull me back in, God. Forgive me. I repent, God. Come on, somebody. This is real talk today. So again, Noah warned of things not seen. Number two, Noah was moved with godly fear. Number three, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now, I want to show you something. This is in Ezekiel chapter 14 for you guys who are listening by podcast and not watching this. For you guys who are watching a visual, we pulled it up here on your screen. I want to show you, look at this testament of Noah. Son of man, this is Ezekiel 14, 13 through 14. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, hello, America, I will stretch out my hand against it. Listen, I make no apologies about saying this. We are under the judgment of God. We've been under the judgment of God since 9/11. I believe the real, true judgment of God has been in this land since 9/11. Now, listen, the reason why it's not anywhere like what we read about in the book of Revelation during the Great Tribulation is because we're under the dispensation of grace. The church is still here, and the church is a restrainer. And as long as the restrainer is in the earth, the level of iniquity, the level of evil, the level of destruction is not going to be anywhere in severity as it will be when the church is removed or taken out of the way and the Antichrist comes to full fruition and all hell's breaking loose in the earth. So we're under what we would call in theological terms, the selective judgments of God. But look what it says here. When a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. That's God. God said, I'll stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread. Wow, I heard something right there in my spirit. Man, I just heard the Holy Spirit just speak to me right here while we're recording this. I felt like the Lord just spoke to me and say that when we get these destructive cataclysmic storms that affect our land, these famines, these hurricanes, these tornadoes, these disasters, and you get these preachers up that never preach on the judgment of God. They never preach anything that would be deemed negative. They don't teach any of this. It's all a one-sided gospel. They always are calling for people to pray and intercede for God to stop these storms. Could it be and they will equate it with the devil, but could it be possible that the reason why we're getting so many storms is because it was never the devil to begin with, but it was God himself stretching his hand against America? Wow. Wow. Let me go back to the text again. I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread. I will send famine on it. So look at this. Cut off its supply of bread. He will send famine. He will cut off man and beast from it. But look at verse 14. Even if these three men, now he's going to name three guys here, Noah, Daniel, and Job, even if these three men were in it, look what it says. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord your God. Now, did we not see that played out in the days of Noah? Noah was found righteous in the eyes of the Lord, but it was him and his whole family was righteous in the eyes of the Lord. So God condemned the world, but saved the remnant. Oh, some of y'all is going to catch this. I believe in the earth today that God still has a remnant. Come on, do I have any of the remnant in the building today? In listening today, listening, watching today? Is there a remnant here in the earth? So don't miss this. Noah prepared an ark by living righteously before the Lord. Now, I know this makes a lot of our certain denominational brothers and sisters a little squeamish because they've been beaten over the head with the gavel of we're saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. But honey, I'm telling you, listen, yes, that's true. We are saved by grace and it's the gift of God. But listen, saved people do things for the kingdom. Saved people work for the kingdom. James said, if you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. And if you show me your works, I'll show you my faith. They go hand in hand. Noah, it was not enough for Noah just to believe the word of the Lord, but he had to act upon the word of the Lord. Oh, y'all not hearing me right there. Let me say a little bit louder for the back row. It wasn't enough for Noah to believe in the word of the Lord, but he had to act upon the word of the Lord. Come on. We as husbands, as wives, as the high priest of the home, we have to build a dwelling place. We are responsible for building the ark in our homes. We have to build the house of prayer. We have to build that devotional time. We have to build that altar and that meeting place before God. So that we can get our family under, come on, the blood of Jesus in covenant with him under the shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because oh, come on. I believe there's a peace, a perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on. The Bible says that I'll keep that man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I believe there's a place in him that we can begin to fulfill Psalms 91. Oh, come on. We can fulfill Psalms 91. Where in which the psalmist said that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and they will say of the Lord that he is their refuge. He is their fortress. He is him who they will trust. And then they will say and make declarations like Psalms 91 verse 2. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers. Under his wings I will take refuge. His truth, come on, what's his truth? His word shall be my buckler, my shield. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. How can anyone make such proclamations? They make these proclamations because they're confident in him. They have a covenant with him. They're under the blood. They're under the wings. They're under the shadow. Come on. They are in him. They have built an ark for the saving of their household. They still believe in that old rugged cross. Do I have anybody still believes in the old rugged cross? It's power to keep us. It's not about the cross. It's about what Christ did at the cross. The cross represents, come on, it represents the redemption. It represents the sacrifice. It represents the atonement. That's what I'm talking about today. The power of the old rugged cross. All right, I got one more point. We're going to close. One more point, and I'm going to close this podcast for this week. Here's the last one. Ready? Noah, the Bible says that Noah condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness. In other words, in translation, the cross before me and the world behind me. Oh, come on. We're in a time. Listen to me, friend. We're in a time where we cannot afford to be anchored to the affairs of this life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul told Timothy, he said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Oh, listen, I come by today to tell you that God's enlisting soldiers in the army in this last days. He's looking for some Noahs out there that are watching today. He's looking. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, and he's looking for some Noahs that will be willing and be obedient. They will prepare an ark for the saving of their households. These Noahs that will condemn the world but be heirs of righteousness. He's looking for Noahs out there that will be moved and operate in the fear of God. He's looking for Noahs that will not sit on their blessed assurance, but they'll go into the highways and byways and they'll preach the gospel. They'll warn, come on, the law lost that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to split that eastern sky. He said, well, Brother Ricky, I want to be a Noah, but nobody listens to what I got to say. You didn't hear what I said earlier. I said Noah preached for 120 years. He preached to a whole, he preached to the world of his day. The book of Jasher, which is a book of Jewish history, says that once, oh, come on, somebody right here. This is the altar call. Once Noah got into the ark, it was no longer Noah that controlled the door. Oh, let me say that again. Once Noah got into the ark, it was no longer Noah that controlled the door. It was God who controlled the door. Listen, I don't know who this word's for, but there might be somebody that's listening today and you're away from God or you don't know God. Friends, look, all hell's breaking loose in the Middle East. And you say, what's going on out there? What does this mean? Here's what it means. It means that your time is running out. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We are not promised another day. The Bible says that you are but a vapor. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. You're like grass, you're like weeds, you're like flowers of the field. They are glorious one day, but the next day they wither up and they're thrown into the furnace to be burned up. Friend, you are on borrowed time. From the day that you were born into this earth, your days are numbered. And I'm trying to come by to tell you today that here's what I'm trying to say. That just in the days of Noah, that there was a door that was controlled by Elohim. There was a door that was controlled by Yahweh. There was a door that was controlled by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And once that door shut, there was no coming in and there was no going out. Friends, I'm telling you, the door is about to shut again. It's called the door of the dispensation of the grace of God. If you want to get theological here, the church age is about to come to a close. We're in the dispensation of grace and mercy of God. But I'm telling you, friends, that door is getting ready to shut. And once that door shuts, you're going to see the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 25 when they're all busting their hands on the door, Lord, let us in. And he's going to look at them and say, I don't know who you are. And let me go back to the book of Jasher. In Noah's day, Jasher records in his writings that 600,000 men rushed the ark of Noah's day. When the rains begin to fall, when the fountains of the deep begin to burst open, the men who mocked him, the men who ridiculed him, the men who laughed at him was no longer mocking. They were no longer ridiculing. They were no longer laughing, but they became desperate. They became fearful and they ran to the ark. But what they didn't know, it was no longer up to Noah to let them in, because Noah was not the keeper of the door. It was God himself. And he said, you had 120 years to get into the ark and you refused to hear the word of the prophet. Thus, the door is shut and it is over. Friends, I know this is stern and it's a hard preaching word, but we need this kind of preaching today. So I'm asking today, where are the Noahs? Where are the Noahs today that know that you have people out there that you work with, people that you know, people that are your neighbors, people that are your friends, people that you may be in your family, and you've been preaching them, you've been teaching them, you've been warning them, you've been sending them these blogs and these podcasts like this from Brother Ricky, and they laugh at you, they mock you, they ridicule. Guys, God is going to justify you, but this is not a time to say, I told you so. And look at me, I was right. No, my friend, I want the compassion of the Lord to come upon us. I want us to get I want us to be grieved in our hearts. Because if the door shuts, friend, we know people that just like in the days of Noah, they will be pounding on the ark and saying, God, let us in. And we will not be able to let them in. John the Revelator said in Revelation 4, he said, I looked and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And I heard a voice speaking as if though it was a trumpet. And it was saying, come up here and I will show you things that must take place after this. Consequently, John says that when John tells us he was caught up, he was in the spirit, he was in heaven, he was before the throne room of God. And God says, I'm going to show you what's going to happen after this event and where which you're taken up. You're caught up in the spirit. After you hear this voice like a trumpet, from henceforth, John, I want to show you what you're going to see. And you go to Revelation 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You go all the way to Revelation 19. John says he sees four horsemen of the apocalypse. He sees death. He sees destruction. He sees the rise of the Antichrist, his kingdom, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the 100-pound hailstones. He sees wormwood. He sees disasters that are so bad that Jesus said, if I had not cut the day short, no flesh would survive. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me good. I'm talking to two different people. I want to talk to the Noahs today. Don't get discouraged. Don't become weary in well-doing just because you're not seeing people answer the call now. They will listen. It may take. They may go through. And I know, listen, some of y'all are not going to agree with my theology. That's okay. But this is my message, my ministry. If you don't agree with that, listen, I hope you can respectfully disagree with me. Listen, either two things are going to happen. Either I will go first and I will see you when you go through the tribulation, or I'm going to go through the tribulation with you. We'll be there together. Okay. Can we agree with this? Either way, it's going to happen. The tribulation's coming. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the earth. And you and I both know there's people out there just like Noah. They need to hear this word. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the warning that another judgment is coming. Don't become weary in well-doing, but come on, all my Noahs out there, stay on the firing line and keep doing what you're doing. Now, to those that are listening and you're away from God, you don't know God, friends, stop playing games. Stop it. Stop being lukewarm. Stop riding the fence. Stop playing games and stop goofing off. This is serious. I mean, what's it going to take, guys? Do we have to go into a full-blown third world war and they start calling the draft? And they start taking our sons? They start taking them into war? What is it going to take? Another 9/11? What's it going to take to wake you up? We are in perilous times. It's time to stop playing games. I give an altar call right here. And you say, well, what? We're not in church. Listen, stop being religious. You don't need to be in church to give your heart to the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You, right where you're at, let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. God, this is what it's all about. I love equipping the saints. I love sharpening swords. But God, the Bible says a wise man saveth souls. So Lord, it's about the harvest. It's about the harvest. We want to pull people into the harvest. You said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, help us to go into the harvest field and swing that sickle and pull these souls back into the kingdom. If there's anybody listening today, there's anybody watching today, you're away from God. You don't know God. You don't have a covenant relationship with Him. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move right now upon your life. I pray that He begin to convict you. He begin to charge you to repentance. The Bible says that no man can come to Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit draw him to Him. And I pray right now the Holy Spirit would lead you to repentance. You begin to open your mouth. You begin to confess your sins before a living God. You begin to say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my transgressions, my trespasses, my iniquities. I pray that You'd wash me and that You'd cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Remember me, O God. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. And I thank You, Father, and I believe, Jesus Christ, that You died, You rose again on the third day, You're seated at the right hand of the Father, and You're coming back again for a glorious church without spot nor wrinkle nor blemish. And I give You glory and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, listen, I hope you received this word today. For you guys that may be backslid or didn't know the Lord, I pray pray that you made that decision. If you did, let us know. You can email us at endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com, or you can go to our main website and contact us on our contact list, tab on our main website. Again, don't forget to download our free app, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com is going to be our main website, but we do have a free app available on Apple and Android devices. You can download it today from your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. And as always, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, you would like to sow back into this ministry, or even pray about becoming a monthly partner, there's two different ways you can do that. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen at the bottom of the app, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, I want to thank you for your partnership. In fact, guys, I just want to take just a minute, because I know we have many partners that support our ministry electronically, by email, by letters, by check, money order. So we used to do this, and we kind of stopped doing this, and I want to start doing this again, because I just want to honor you. We're not going to give out details because we don't want you to lose your blessing, okay? Because I believe that. The Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand. We're not going to call you out by specifics, last names and all this. But real quick, we want to honor Iris. If you're listening from Ohio, thank you for your generous support of our ministry. Stephen from Michigan, Janet from Texas, Angela from Iowa, Patricia and Sandra and Linda from Michigan. We have Renee from my own state here in the state of Georgia. We have Sandra from West Virginia. We have Conrad. I believe you're probably watching, brother, in the YouTube of the live of this, from Pennsylvania. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for your generous support of our ministry. And then we have Linda from Wisconsin as well. So these are just a few. And listen, all you guys that give online, we appreciate you as well. You know who you are. We try to send out thank yous. These are individuals that they give by email, or I keep wanting to say email. They give by checks in the mail. Good grief. Wake up, Brother Ricky. Wake up. Get some caffeine. Get some coffee. Come on. They give by check or by money orders. And a lot of them, they'll leave prayer requests and stuff. So we pray over these, and you guys online, we pray over your prayer requests, and we do these things as well. So in fact, let's pray real quick, because it is, as of the recording this, we're still in this Friday the 13th. We want to pray. I want to pray a real quick prayer of protection over you. Cause listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I want to continue to pray for all of our partners, those that are listening, those that are watching. We want to pray for you right now. Father, we ask that you'd send your mighty angels to protect and to preserve your people. Lord, we can find this in Psalms 34:7, Psalms 91. We can find it in the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Joshua. All through the scriptures, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment thou shalt condemn. Lord, I plead the precious blood of Jesus. If the blood of an earthly lamb was able to be put over the doorpost, if the blood of an earthly lamb was to be able to be put over the doorpost of the Hebrew people to protect them, preserve them, how much more shall the precious blood of Jesus protect and preserve in Jesus' name. So Father, we thank you for your protection. We pray that if there be any assignments of hell that would be perpetrated against our families, against our communities, and against our cities, we pray that they be made manifest and exposed to the authorities and to the people that need to be to know this. Lord, I thank you that no knife shall harm us, no gun shall harm us, no bomb, no weapon formed against us and your people shall prosper. But we thank you for your protective power. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will be back here, back on Monday the 16th, October the 16th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great broadcast. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.